in chapter 5. I've worked on this sermon for years, and I just seem that it just, you know, you know when you're baking something, you want it just right before you present it to your family and the visitors, and you want to make sure it's just the right temperature and the right presentation. Boy, I'm sounding like a chef after a while here. That Iron Chef I'm watching too much. But anyway, we want to make sure that it's not to be impressive, but it's to be right, to be really palatable. And I want to speak to you today on something I think that is probably lacking. It is probably the most basic of all doctrinal issues of the Bible. It is the most important issue of the Bible. It is the most important issue with us as we walk together in this crazy world that we live in. And it's the idea of forgiveness. We have missed this. We have stumbled over it. We have failed to just pick up what true forgiveness is all about. I was laying in bed this morning and anticipating that alarm to go off. And I was praying and I was begging God. I said, "Dear God," I says, I just want to hear from you today. I just want to know exactly what you want." And all of a sudden, in my mind, of course, because I've been studying this about forgiveness, the Lord reminded me, he said, the greatest illustration of all forgiveness is when Jesus Christ hung on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." If that is true, and it is, by the way, there is not one person in this world that has a right to get upset with somebody that has done something wrong to them and not forgive them. As I started thinking about it, I started thinking things in my own life and thinking, who do you think you are to hold anything against anybody? For the great God of heaven who came down to this earth said, "Father, forgive them." And by the way, it showed off because just a little later, one of the deacons, his name was Stephen, one of the first deacons of the local church, preached a magnificent sermon. And they stoned him. And he said, "Lord, lay not this to their hands." He got it. And I'm wondering, how long does it take it for me to get it? How long does it take for you to get it about this forgiveness business? Do we make mistakes? Do we hurt others? Do we say things that we should never said? Yeah. All this, yeah. But when somebody says something about me, or somebody says something about what I did, or one of my beautiful grandkids, or one of my children, you're going to deal with me with wrath. And we turn into, my boys used to have these cars and trucks that would turn into this, transform into this monster. And that's what we do. And all of a sudden we're saying, "Who? Where in the world did that guy come from?" And then, unfortunately, we have this brain that is the most magnificent thing. The only problem it does not have is a delete. And we keep remembering it. And not only remember it, we rehearse it to our friends and to our neighbors and to our family members, and all of a sudden they become affected, and they get the plague of our our unforgiveness. I want to talk to you about that this morning. If you're not ready for it, you probably ought to leave. But if you're leaving, you're the one who should have had it. Amen. When the first missionary from Alberta, Canada, came to the Cree Indians, a young chief of the Cree Indians was Meskepeman. I hope I can pronounce it right. Maskepeton. It's a true story. Meskepeton. And when they came, he responded the gospel shortly afterwards. And later, a member of the Blackfoot Indian tribe killed his father. And Meskepeton, the new chief, rode to the village where the murderer lived and demanded that he would be brought before him. And confronting the murderer, the guilty man, he said, "You have killed my father, so now you must be my father." "You shall ride the best horse and wear my best clothes." In utter amazement and remorse, the enemy exclaimed, "My son, now you have killed me." He meant, of course, that the hate in his own heart had been completely erased by the forgiveness and kindness of the Indian chief. Thomas A. Edison was working upon this new crazy contraption called the light bulb. And the story goes, Edison was finished with this one light bulb, and he gave it to one of the younger men of the staff. And it taken the whole team of Edison's, these inventors took their whole team 24 hours to put together this one light bulb. 24 hours. Teamwork to put this thing together. The story goes that as he finished that bulb, he gave it to the young helper, and nervously he carried it up the stairs, step by step, cautiously watching his hands and obviously frightened of dropping the priceless piece of work. The poor fellow, when he got to the top stairs, stumbled and dropped the bulb. Broke! 24 hours of all these men working together to build this bulb. The poor fellow dropped it, and of course, it took the entire team 24 more hours to make another bulb. And finally, tired and ready for a break, Edison was ready to have his bulb carried up the stairs. And he gave it to the same boy who dropped the first one to carry it up. That is true forgiveness. Most of us would say, "Hey, jerk! Hey, fumble fingers! We'll do without you this time." But Edison saw the need for this young man to carry that up again. With great wonder and amazement, I begin this series of messages on forgiveness. For the life of me, I cannot understand the lack of mental understanding and the lack of Christian character in the matter of forgiveness. Our Lord Jesus Christ is very plain about forgiveness. He was very plain about the Christians not being vindictive. He was careful to give us very detailed instructions how to react and act towards our fellow brothers and sisters and family members and friends. And Jesus made it very plain and gave very explicit instruction on how we were to treat even our enemies, those that persecute us and those that use us. Peter came to Jesus and said, "Lord, how many times should we forgive this guy? 7 times? And what did Jesus say? "Boy, how come you know that? How many knew that? 70 times 7. Wow, you are bright people." So the Bible says, according to God, Jesus was God, amen? According to God, he said, "You are to forgive a man when he offends you or does something against you or against your family, you're to forgive them how many times? 140 times. You're wrong. In the Greek, at the end of the 490 times, guess what? You're to start over. Ding dong, which is dead. How many of you, now be honest with me, how many of you have ever been offended by the same person 490 times in one day? May I see your hand, please? I'll give you $1,000 right now if you've been offended by the same person 490 times. I maybe shouldn't say that because sometimes you wives are pretty rough on your husband. But anyway, 490 times. At the end of that, the Bible says, in this little kind of like asterisk on the end of that word, it says, do it over again. What do they think they are parking in my spot? Who do they got sitting in my seat in the church? Who do they think they are to say that about me? Who do they? Hey, everybody knows it says 7 times 7. Everybody raise your hand. Don't you lie to me. Don't you look at me like a cow looking at a new gate. And how many times have we failed? I'm going to ask you this. How many times have we failed to do exactly what Jesus said? You kicked me off. Who do you think you are? Or, you hear what they said about me? I'm so mad I can spit fire. Boy, I guess God's impressed with that, amen? I heard one guy said, oh, if I could just be like Elijah and spring down fire from heaven. Shoot, there'd be nobody left in this earth that you could do that. Why are you gone? Evaporated. Just a little ashes on the ground there. That's it. No smoke. It quickly passes away, you mind. I got a question for you. Do you really fear God? I got another question. Do you really believe the Bible? Do you really believe what God says? I would say, at the rate of what's going on today, no, we do not. Some of you have had bad memories and bad thoughts of people in your family. Somebody did something bad to you when you were a little girl or when you were a little boy. And you have not forgiven. And you let that in your heart. And all of a sudden, it always kind of just regurgitates up every once in a while when somebody else does something. Oh, yeah, I remember when that happened to me. Boy, if I could just get your hands on it. Things ain't looking good, is it? This is not the service you would want to hear. You got to remember, this old preacher been trying to preach this service for a long time. Preach this message. Do you realize that we will face God someday for our actions? Yes or no? Do we believe the scripture that state, for whatsoever a man sow, he reaps? Or are we just content to suffer the repercussions of our actions? Now I want you to read with me Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. You got that? Got your Bible? We preach out of the King James Version here, so there's no confusion about that. The Authorized Version. It says, your Bible says and my Bible says, and be ye. Ye, that means y'all. Some of you folks down in Texas, y'all. Since that's what most you people are, so y'all. For be ye kind. Let me ask you a question. Are your actions and are your words kind when someone does something against you? Wrong answer. No, you're not. You're vindictive. You're mean. You're conniving. And you aren't going to let a stone go by without rolling it over. You're going to take care of this thing. You're not going to let God take care of it. You are the great God of heaven. You say, I will take care of me, myself, and I. I don't need anybody else to help me. I don't need God to take care of this. I will take care of this. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, can you think of it right now? Think now. Think. There's a part of scripture. God says something about He is the judge. He is the... It is not my responsibility to avenge. It is not my job to avenge. It is God's job to avenge. Have you ever killed somebody? Do you realize how much blood a person has in them? If you slit their throat, it's a big mess. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And most of you skip, vengeance is mine. And you put the period right there. You don't put saith the Lord. You put I will repay. God's word says, and don't take it out of context, God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I shall repay. If you do me bad, according to Scripture, I'm not supposed to do you bad back. I think the Bible says, do unto others as, huh? Come on, talk to me. And most of us say, do unto others and then split. Get your jab in. Get your punch in. Stick them a little bit and turn it a little bit. Boy, I'm going to take care of this thing. You ain't going to talk about my family like that. You're not going to talk about my children like that. You're not going to talk about my ancestors like that. Where do you find that in the Bible? Now, I understand there's some precatory psalms in the Bible. Precatory means God kill them. God destroy them. God take their babies and dash their heads against the rock. I understand those things. I understand that. But unfortunately, you are not in the Old Testament. You are New Testament Christians. And the longer it is your job to take care of business, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, blood for blood, no longer. That's not our job anymore. Am I? I hope I'm helping you. I'm not. I don't want to ruin your thoughts here, but I want to tell you that you are not responsible of what happens to you. God is. You are, quote unquote, if you've invited the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and ask Him to come in your heart, you are a child of God today. You are His responsibility. It is not the responsibility of a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old child to take care of business. It's the responsibility of its parents. I have a Heavenly Father. You do me bad, you're not doing me bad. You're doing my Father bad. Because I'm one of the kids. I allow God to take care of that for me. I learned that a long time ago. I was pastoring a little church. And I had some folks that were very, very vindictive, very mean. I couldn't believe it. For 5 years, the first 5 years of my ministry there, I preached on the love of God.
I never seen anything like it. They hated each other. And I kept saying, how can you be a part of this church if you hate each other?
How can you be a part of the church if you don't like that? But they said, this is my church and you're not chasing me out of it. Well, then get right with God, amen. And things started to turn. Since I'm the big man and standing behind the pulpit, these people that were mad at everybody else, guess what they start turning on? Sweet me, man, I'm good. Hey, why would you be mad at me? I'm just a swell guy.
Well, they didn't see it that way. They started rumors. I was on the fire department. I was at EMS on the ambulance squad. And my buddies in the ambulance squad in the fire department started telling me what people were saying about me in town. Well, that's great. Town of 698 people.
Yeah, you know that Baptist preacher down there? Some kind of preacher he is. Man, he comes in our church and tries to get all our money and comes in our church and says things about us. And boy, we're going to show him. Well, that's a blessing. Hey, I'd sure like to invite you over to Harry's Baptist Church. Invite you over to First Baptist Church. I've heard about your church. I want nothing to do with it. Yeah, that's what they say.
Well, that's a blessing, amen.
Come on! Have mercy!
And it started eating me right here. Started eating me. What do you mean? I work hard. I put in 60 hours a week at that church. You don't even pay me for 20 hours. And I'm putting 60 hours and 80 hours. And I'm running here, running there, going there, going to see your family, going to help them, going to pray with them in the hospital. I'm here and here and there. What are you talking?
I work hours studying the scripture so I can preach the Word of God to you and open up the Word of God to you. What do you mean? And all of a sudden it started getting me. You know what I mean?
And boy, God got a hold of me. He picked me up like a mother cat.
Drug me around. I had a bulldog on the other foot pulling me around. And God just shook the living daylights out of me and said, boy, what you doing?
You're not any different than they are. That's where God taught me some. Marcia. And the Bible said, be kind one to another. Tender hearted. Are you tender when you speak about others? Tender hearted. Forgiving one another. I wrote this down in my notes. Are you anxious to forgive? Are you anxious to forgive?
When someone comes in and says, I am sorry, are you anxious to say, hey, it's okay? Or you got to drag it out a little bit. Got to turn it back a little bit more. I'll teach you never to mess with me. I'll rip your ears off. I'll gouge your eyeballs out. I'll rip your head off and spit it down the bloody butt of it. Oh, that's good. Well, that's what Jesus said. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what Stephen said. Lord, put not this their account. I thought we were supposed to be Christ. By the way, if you're a Christian this morning, you call yourself Christian, that means Christ-like. That means you follow His example. And His example was forgiveness. Now, read the rest of the part of that scripture. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God has forgiven us of all our sins. Right? When you ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and come in your heart, He forgave everything. When you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior a couple months ago, remember that? And you said, God, forgive me of all my sins. Immediately God took your heart and cleansed it. It was white as snow. It was blood washed. completely forgiven. Everything you've ever done, the times that you used God's name in vain, the times you were mean, the times you were just naughty and a filth, and your thoughts and everything, God forgave all that. It's all gone. You go to heaven today and say, "Dear God, I want to see my sins," and He'll say, "Sorry, they're all forgiven. They're cast as far as the east as from the west, never to be remembered again. They're in the deepest sea." Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's good stuff. Amen. So all the things that I did and all the things I said against God and all the things I used God's name in vain and all the things, He said, they're all forgiven. Everything. Wow. So when you read the scripture, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, He said, Paul wrote, he said, listen, when you ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins, God covered your sins with His blood, and the God of heaven said that you are righteous. You are justified, just as if you never sinned when you ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins. All of it. That's incredible. But what we forget is what the scripture was telling before in the text. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. We have no right to hold back forgiveness from any. It is not my job to teach you. When you go against me, and you're unkind to me, and you're unkind to my family, unkind to whatever, it is not my job. It's not your job when people are unkind to you and say bad things about you or say bad things about your family. It is not your job to take care of that. Because God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay, and He will repay. God has forgiven us of all our sins, not because of who we are, but because who the Son is. And how that He sacrificed on the cross of Calvary for us. Who in the world do we think we are when the holy God of this universe forgives us because of Christ? How can we say that we will not forgive others? Don't you say that. You talk about blasphemy. That is in your face God attitude. You frighten me. I don't want to be around you. You are scary to me. I will promise you that God will take care of you. No matter what comes, no matter when it comes, God will take care of you. You do not have to battle for your integrity. It is God's responsibility because you are now His child. Now, if you're not His child, then you got a problem. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of the mind, having the understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Paul said, listen, you are not blinded. If you're a Christian, if you're a born-again believer, if you are on your way to heaven, you have a citizenship of heaven, you are not to have this kind of attitude. He says in verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Is that what you say and think of the Lord Jesus Christ? God says, put it off. Look at verse 29. See it? Verse 29 says, let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. In other words, be careful what you say, what comes out of your mouth. Boy, there's some people just mean. I mean, they're just mean. They're just
you know. They have such sour attitudes. It's like they suck on two green persimmons. You all know what persimmon fruit is. But that which is good and used of edifying, that it may minister grace on the hearers, that should be the blessing of be around you. And then look at verse 30. And what? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed as they are redeemed. Look, it's in the text. Look at it. It says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. When you are unwilling to forgive, when somebody says something about you, one man said it should be like the water off a duck's back. What is wrong with us Christians? How can we call ourselves Christians and realize that we have been forgiving of the Almighty God for all the sins we've ever committed? And by the way, all sins are against God. When David prayed his prayer of forgiveness of his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba, he said that, God, I have sinned against you and you only have I sinned. He didn't say anything about Bathsheba. He said, I've sinned against God. And so, when people in our life offend us and hurt us, and by the way, that does happen, doesn't it? How many can say that hurts when people say things? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never. That is the biggest lie. Because words are worse. I'd rather take a beating than somebody yell at me. I'd rather have somebody throw a stone at me than hate me and just beat me up. So as a Christian, let me ask this panel of jury this morning. Is it wrong not to forgive? According to God's word. Yes or no? I'm guilty, right? The chief this morning said, is there enough evidence that a court could convict us of being a Christian? This is what Jesus said. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. If you love the brethren. Hey, guess what? Y'all brethren. This shall all men know. Jesus said, the evidence the truth-finding witness that you are one of mine is you to love the brethren. You say, but Pastor, there are some people that used to come to our church here that they were really mean. And boy, we showed them. And they sure did. They're not here anymore. Could Jesus say, well, let's bring the jury in and let's see if what you said to them proves to me that you are one of my disciples. What would you have to do? I'll tell you what you have to do. You'd have to hang your head. You don't have to justify yourself. Just because somebody hurts you doesn't mean that you have to hurt somebody else. I was around an old lady one time. She says, I'm miserable, and everybody I'm around, I'm going to make them miserable because I'm miserable, and they're not going to have a good time, so I'm going to be miserable. They're going to be miserable. Well, that's a blessing. You ever wake up in the morning and get a headache? It's not fair everybody else having a good time. And so you're going to give everybody else a headache. Oh boy, that's a blessing. I'm telling you, you listen to me now. You're probably not going to like these sermons I'm going to preach in the next few weeks. Unless you get on the gospel train and sit down and enjoy the ride and learn some things and say, you know what? I'm finding out that it's better to forgive and be better. It's better to forgive than hold things in my heart. God says, when you get that, it's worse than cancer. How many like a good dose of cancer this morning? How many just like to have the whole thing? Well, I'm telling you, when you're unforgiving, and you listen to me, husbands and wives, you listen to me, the first thing that ought to come out of your mouth is, honey, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. That's the first thing that ought to come out of your mouth. When you realize that you've done something, hey, take care of it. I have sinned. I have gone wrong. I am sorry. Will you please forgive me? I was so mad. I know it's wrong. And please forgive me. By the way, some of us do get mad. That's why the Bible says you really should. Don't let sin go down with your wrath. I mean, don't let the sun go down with your wrath. Some people do get mad. Some people ought to get mad. You ought to get mad at sin. You ought to get mad at what happens when people go into sin. You're supposed to get mad at the person. You're supposed to get mad at what's going on, amen. Someone said to me, he says, I know you're a Baptist and you hate all homosexuals. By the way, they're not homosexuals, they're sodomists. And no, I am. I despise what they do. But I do not hate that person because that person is a human being. And God told us to love one another. I don't like what they do. I don't like how they perpetrate on little ones. In fact, God has a word for it. He says, they're an abomination. Their practice is an abomination of desecration. That's what God said. You better be careful how you act. Because by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. The word disciple means learned one, willing to be taught. There's this story from Spain of a father and a son who had become estranged. The son ran away, and the father set off to find him. He searched for a month with no avail. Months after months. Finally, at his last desperate effort to find him, the father put this ad in the Madrid newspaper. The ad read, Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you. Your father. Saturday noon came. To the bewilderment of this man, 800 Pacos showed up looking for forgiveness from their father. True story. Did you know that's what I need? I need forgiveness. That's what you need. You need forgiveness. Ease out, people. Ecclesiastes says, don't be so careful to listen to what your servant says about you, because you also have cursed others. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. You have failed people. Don't be so tough on when somebody fails you. Lighten up! The greatest of all illustrations of forgiveness is when Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Heritage Baptist Church folks, members and friends, guests, listen to me. You'll never be so happy in your life when you don't have that black hole in your heart that has people that you remember that have done bad to you and did things to you. And let me ask you this. What are you going to do about it? Can you take that out of your heart? Can you, take that out of your mind? Is that ever going to be, can you fix it? Can you fix what people said to you? Can you fix what people have done to you? Can you fix what people used you and took advantage of you? Can you? The answer is no, a million times no. Therefore, like the man said, you know, life is like when your clock stops. You can't turn it back, but you can wind it and get back on time. And so many of us think that we're going to fix these things. Are we going to fix the way people feel about us? All we can fix is how we feel about others. We were supposed to be out of here a minute ago. I hope you'll forgive me. Father in heaven, I pray you'd help us. My. So many times we have went into the battle for the wrong reason. We went against people who have been unkind to us. And we've gone against people that are mean and vicious and just... they have no value at all of human suffering. But Lord God, you know all about it. I pray today that there would be anyone here today not sure they're saved, not sure they have a home in heaven, that Lord God, they'd even ask for the greatest of all forgiveness, and that's forgiveness of their sins. Lord, I pray you'd work in our hearts and lives today. Lord, we'd get rid of this junk that's really holding us up. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that I have a home in heaven. By the way, you'll never be able to forgive unless you have the Holy Spirit of God in your heart to forgive. You're here today and say, Preacher, if I were to die today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? I'm not sure I'm saved. Here's a God in heaven that sent his only begotten Son to forgive you your sins. Won't you invite him to forgive you of your sins? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Can I ask everyone to stand? You're here today and you say, everyone standing. You're here today and you say, Preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I am not sure that I walk out of this building today and drop dead. I don't know if I'd go to heaven or hell. I've been questioning that. I've been thinking about that. I want to take care of that today. Why don't you come? Why don't you come right now and say, Preacher, I want to be saved. I want Jesus to be my Savior. You come right now. You're today and say, Preacher, I've been saved, but haven't followed Lord and believed in baptism. You come. Preacher, I've been saved. I just don't know what about my life and the things that are going on. Hey, why don't you just hand it over to God? Maybe you're here today and say, Preacher, we want to become members of the church. This is where we want to serve God. Why don't you come? One more time, you're here today. You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come? Now, Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come to church. Lord, please, God, I pray that you would bring this message to our hearts. Lord, I know that this week there's going to be things that's going to happen to us, and we're going to have to practice what we preached. We're going to have to live what the Scripture says. But, Lord, that's what it's all about. We're supposed to live what you say. Lord, a lot of people say, well, I get saved because the Bible says, but Lord, it's forgiven. This is a little different. Well, Lord, we know, as you taught us, that as much in the Scripture, the truth of the salvation is also forgiveness. It's the same thing. And Lord God, you were so kind to us, die on the cross, and take our beating and our punishment that we deserve for our sins, and you took it gladly, happily. Help us, Lord, to be willing to do what the Bible says. And all God's people said, amen. You just know.